My name is Nicola Harkin and I'm Head of Employment Law Services at IBEC. If you're listening to this podcast, you might be interested in joining us at IBEC's Employment Law Conference on Thursday, the 18th of April in the Royal Dublin Convention Centre. The theme of this year's conference is the employment paradox, nurturing relations, navigating regulations. On the day, IBEC's experts will give practical insights into how employers can navigate complex regulations on areas such as sick leave, remote and flexible working, retirement and more, while still nurturing employee relations within their organisation. If you'd like to join us on the day, just click on the link in the episode page. We hope to see you there.
Welcome to KC Connect Podcasts, brought to you by IBEC's Employer Relations team. Across this series of short episodes, we will provide insight and expertise on some of the most common challenges for our members and discuss the case law shaping the employer relations landscape. My name is Linda Reid and I'm part of the team in the Knowledge Centre, and I'm joined today by Lorraine Parks, who is a team lead in the Knowledge Centre. For the next 10 minutes or so, we will discuss the public holiday entitlements, specifically when the public holiday falls on a Sunday. As we normally do with any upcoming public holiday, we issued a set of frequently asked questions for this Patrick's Day public holiday a number of weeks ago, and they've been available to our members on our website. However, we have experienced a high volume of calls in the last number of days in relation to this particular public holiday. So Lorraine and I will discuss some of the questions that are causing issues for employers for this particular public holiday. So before that, let's just cover what the legislation is around public holiday entitlements. Full-time employees have an immediate entitlement to a public holiday benefit. However, part-time employees must have worked at least 40 hours in the 5 weeks ending the day before the public holiday falls to actually qualify for a public holiday benefit. So, in respect of a public holiday, the employee is entitled to whichever of the following the employer determines: a pay day off on that day, a pay day off within a month of that day, an additional day of annual leave, or an additional day's pay. The amount of public holiday benefit employees are entitled to is based on whether they would normally be rostered to work or not. Where the employee is required to work on the public holiday, they are entitled to an additional day's pay or a pay day off within a month or to an additional day's annual leave. Now, Lorraine, let's firstly look at how a public holiday should be treated when it falls on a Sunday.
So, Linda, it's a common misconception that public holidays that fall on a weekend move to the following Monday. While an employer may choose to assign the statutory benefit of a public holiday that falls, for example, on a Sunday to the following Monday in the form of a paid day off, this is not legally required. Sunday, the 17th of March, will still be classified as the St. Patrick's Day public holiday. Therefore, Monday, the 18th of March, which is a bank holiday, and banks are closed on the day, is not a public holiday.
Okay, so if an employee works Monday to Friday only in 2024, what is their public holiday entitlement for Patrick's Day?
So as this employee does not normally work on a Sunday, their public holiday entitlement under the Organisation of Working Time Act 1997 is a sum of money equivalent to 1/5 of their normal weekly pay. For this employee, who works a 5-day week, Monday to Friday, this, of course, is equivalent to a day's pay, and the employer may assign the public holiday benefit in the form of one of the following: either an additional 1/5 of weekly pay on the week in which the public holiday falls, and this will mean that the employer will receive no time off in respect of the public holiday, or they may choose to assign it in the form of a paid day off within 1 month of the public holiday. Alternatively, they may give the public holiday benefit in the form of an additional day of annual leave.
Okay. And what about a part-time employee who only works weekends and they are required to work on the 17th?
So as this is a part-time employee, the employer must first establish whether the employee qualifies for the public holiday benefit. As we said, a part-time employee will qualify for the benefit if they've worked 40 hours in the 5 weeks preceding the public holiday. If the part-time employee always works on a Sunday and is required to work on the public holiday, they're entitled to be paid for the hours worked on the day. In addition to this, they will also be entitled to one of the following as a benefit for the public holiday, provided that they've worked the 40 hours: an additional day's pay, or a paid day off within a month, or an additional day of annual leave.
Now, Lorraine, I think in this instance, many employers will go for the option to offer the benefit in the form of additional days' pay. And we often get asked the question, how is the additional days' pay calculated? Now, considering some of those who work on a Sunday receive a premium for working Sundays, as opposed to those employees who receive an hourly rate of pay for all hours worked, which actually encompasses the fact that they're required to work on a Sunday. So how does an employer calculate the additional days' pay due for this upcoming public holiday for an employee who gets a premium for working on a Sunday?
Now, when it comes to pay for both annual leave and public holidays, there is a statutory instrument in the form of SI 475 of 1997, which outlines how an employee's public holiday pay is calculated. If the employee works or is normally required to work during any part of the day on which the public holiday falls, then if the employee's pay is calculated wholly by reference to a time rate or a fixed rate or salary, the amount paid to the employee for the public holiday is equal to the amount paid to that employee in respect of the normal daily hours last worked by the employee before the public holiday. This payment includes any regular bonus or allowance that does not vary in relation to work done, but excludes any pay for overtime. However, if the employee's pay is not calculated by reference to a fixed rate or a salary, for example, the employee earns commission or may work on a piece or productivity rate, the amount paid to that employee for the public holiday is equal to the average daily pay of the employee, again excluding any pay for overtime, calculated over the period of 13 weeks ending immediately before the public holiday. If no time incidentally was worked by the employee during that period, the average daily pay is calculated over the 13 weeks ending on the day on which time was last worked by the employee before the public holiday.
Okay, so let's say, Lorraine, with employees who are required or rostered to work on Sundays as part of their contract. So, for example, shift workers who are on a pattern of shifts that covers weekends all the time.
So for shift workers whose normal pattern of work includes carrying out work on a Sunday for St. Patrick's Day, which of course this year falls on a Sunday, their employer may require them to work as normal. If this is the case, the employees concerned, in addition to their contractual pay for working on a Sunday, will be entitled to a separate statutory public holiday benefit in the form of either an extra day's pay or a paid day off within a month or an extra day of annual leave. Obviously, the employer may also decide to assign the public holiday benefit to those workers in the form of a paid day off on the Sunday. Another point just to mention, Linda, is that we do know that some organisations with shift work operations may pay an additional company benefit to employees who work on a public holiday, but this is a company arrangement over and above the employee's statutory entitlement. Also, just to flag that IBEC's 2023 shift work report includes very useful findings on public holiday arrangements in organisations that do operate shift work systems.
Okay, right. So then, Lorraine, in relation to employees not normally required to work on the day the public holiday falls, or if the employee does not work on a day which is a public holiday, how's their pay calculated?
Again, if the employee's pay is calculated wholly by reference to a time or a fixed rate or salary, the amount paid to the employee for the public holiday is equal to 1/5 of the amount paid to that employee in respect of the normal weekly hours last worked by the employee before the public holiday. On the other hand, if the employee's pay is not calculated by reference to a time rate or fixed rate or salary, the amount paid to the employee for the public holiday is equal to 1/5 of the average weekly pay, again excluding any pay for overtime, of the employee calculated over the period of 13 weeks immediately preceding the public holiday.
Okay, so a couple of final points to mention, Lorraine. All employees who are on protective leave, that's your maternity, parental or parents leave, etc., have an entitlement to a public holiday while they're on this leave. But how do other types of absences from work affect an employee's entitlement to the public holiday?
So it's possibly simpler to look at for how long employees retain public holidays in relation to certain absences. Employees retain their public holiday entitlements only for the first 52 weeks of absence by reason of occupational injury, for the first 26 weeks of absence by reason of illness or injury not work related, and for the first 13 weeks of absence of leave authorised by the employer, including layoff. Incidentally, the employee also retains their public holiday entitlement for the first 13 weeks of absence on carer's leave. Beyond that, when those periods are exhausted, there is no further public holiday entitlement. Okay. Also, one other thing to mention, employees do not retain entitlement to a public holiday benefit during any absence by reason of strike.
OK, so final question then, Lorraine. What about someone who's no longer in employment after the, when the public holiday falls? So just for an example, an employee finishes their employment next Friday. Are they entitled to a public holiday?
Yes. So, Linda, if an employee ceases to be employed during the week ending on the day before the public holiday, having worked 4 weeks preceding that week, they will be entitled to receive pay for the public holiday, that being Sunday the 17th of March in this instance. Mm. And just to mention before we go, the FAQ document and the 2023 shift work report that IBEC has produced will be linked for members to download in this broadcast information.
Okay, thanks for that, Lorraine. So that concludes this episode. Thanks for listening. For more content like this, be sure to explore the audio hub at ibec.ie/podcasts.